This is KBQ UBV with info and chatting. This is N2 WWM Curtis with info.
Charlie, I had you down.
Curtis, NCWWM is recognized with info. And Curtis, I got your message. I got in late. Looked for you on the 440 around 10:30, 11. All right, let's continue. Any additional stations that would like to check in, please come now.
WJR listening. KB2YJH, name is John. No traffic.
This is K2HAB, Howard. No traffic.
This time the net would like to recognize Richie N2WJL. Hi, Rich. I sent you an email last week. I hope you got it. Otherwise, I'll resend it. John, KB2YJH, and Howard, KQHAB. Rich, did you receive that email regarding Frank and myself with a handset?
Not checked my email for a couple of nights. I will be doing so tonight when I do my paperwork, and I am sure it's there, and if not, I know that Frank usually likes 10 o'clock, 10:30 is probably the same thing that you want to do, and if that's not correct, I'll check the email and I'll get back to you.
Actually, I don't want to really discuss it on the air, but we want a table, so check the email. If it's not there, I'll re-mail you.
There's no advance registration for tables at an outdoor hand fair. It's common partake, there's no problem. Just show up there at 6 o'clock and we'll get your spot. Not to worry.
Okay, very good. I'd like to apologize to the rest of the people, but while I had Richie here, just wanted to straighten that out. All right, I want to recognize John, KB2YJH, and Howard, KQHAB. Any additional stations that would like to check in? Pick up with some check-ins a little later on. Let's start at the top of the list with Mike, KB2YLD, who had a question. And we'll send it over to Mike for his query.
Yes, this is KB2YLD. Mike's the name. Good evening to everybody at the net. Ed, I have one question. I'd like to know, are they having the air show in Virginia at Oceana this year, and what's the date? And also, are they having the flea market at the same time? You probably know the answer to that because I know you always go to that, and I'm thinking about going this year also. I know it's sometime during the end of September. Back to you, Ed.
Yes, on both accounts. It's both the same weekend, and if you stand by, I'll get you the exact date. Are you on the internet? Because Oceana runs a pretty nice website.
This is KB2YLB, Mike again. No, I'm not on the net yet, but I appreciate if you gave me the dates on that. I probably will be going up to that. Thank you.
Quick notice, gentlemen, out here in southwestern Nassau, I just heard some thunder. So, use your own discretion to take proper radio safety precautions should lightning invade your area. Regarding the third weekend of September, and let me send it over to Charlie, KBQUVZ, for a moment, see if he's got any information you'd like to pass while I look up the exact date for you.
KB2AYCNS, KB2UVV, and thanks for mentioning Thunder, Eddie, because I just heard it over here, so if it gets much closer, I'm going to be going QRT. I won't take the chance. But anyway, we're in the chat room, and I know you just joined us. I sent you the link, and we have our regulars. We have Bob from the Bronx, and good evening to you, Bob. And we also have Doug from Uniondale. Good evening to you, Doug. And last but not least, we have Paul from Fort Jefferson. Good evening to you, Paul. And Paul had some traffic. There's an amended date on that National Weather Service open house out of Brookhaven Labs, so I'm going to read that first. Let me let it drop. Okay, I'll read this quick. Paul sent this a few days back, and he says, my apologies to all. The correct date for the National Weather Service open house is September 19th, a Saturday. Okay. So, you know, Paul, we thank you for that. So everybody might want to mark that down on their calendars. That's open house for the National Weather Service out at Brookhaven National Laboratories, and that's on Saturday, September 19th. And Paul, we thank you for that information. Let me let it drop. Okay. Also, okay, here's my traffic for the week. actually, I found a pretty good bargain, product item that we've spoken of in the past, but not in a while. One of these electronic data banks, okay, electronic organizer, that normally you would be putting names and addresses, phone numbers into these things. But we had in the past on this net and also on the old MLIS net, a few people had found various ones on sale and have used them as a data bank to hold a scanner and even shortwave frequency. Well, I found one on sale over at Walgreens, and it's a Tozai 10-digit full-function calculator, and it holds up to 500 names and numbers, and it's on sale. Normally it goes for $19.99, and this week it's on sale for $12.99. Let me let it drop. Okay, it's KB2UVV. Alrighty, so the model number, product number on this is ATC578. I'll repeat that, ATC578. That's the Tozai 10-digit full-function, it's a 10-digit full-function calculator also, and the data bank holds 500 names and numbers. So you could actually, you could store 500 frequencies in there too, and also label them. So it's really good to have if you have a, say, a scanner that only holds maybe 100 or 200 channels. You can have 500 channels in this portable data bank and take it with you any place you want to go, and you know, use it in that respect. So I just figured I'd pass that along once again. It's at Walgreens. Now, we have a Walgreens in Freeport. And I know there's also one out in Suffolk County in East Patchogue on Montauk Highway, near Caldor. It's right near where 101 cuts into Montauk Highway. So you might want to check that out. Let me let it drop.
2WW. There's also one in Oceanside, Long Beach Road.
And 2WWM recognized. Thank you, Curtis, for that additional. Okay. Anyway, Eddie, that's all I have for here right now, and, you know, we'll be out of sight here and see if anybody in the net, in the chat room, has any additional to add, and I'll be keeping an ear peeled for this lightning and thunder. Okay, KT2AYC in the net, this is KT2UVB.
KT2UVB.
Very good. Thank you, Charlie. Good information there. All right. Let's check out here at the Walgreens in your neighborhood. Getting back to Mike, KB2YLP Gary. Got some information here. Before we get into that, I might as well just make this announcement in case we do have to suspend operation here due to the weather. I just want to remind everybody the next meeting is this coming Thursday at Hooters, located on the North Service Road of the Long Island Expressway at Exit 68 in Islandia. We'll be meeting between 7:30 and a quarter to 8 around there. Everybody's welcome to attend. Hope to make it out there again at Hooters this coming Thursday. North Service Road of the LIE at Exit 58. All right, getting back to the air show at Oceana. Dates on the Neptune Festival air show is September 18th through the 20th, 1998. Presented by Exxon. That's interesting. But there's no fee to get in, as far as I know. It's free. And I'll just read you a little bit. Welcome to Strike Fighter Country and the Navy's premier air show. Naval Air Station Oceana proudly announces the celebration of its 40th anniversary air show and 4th annual Twilight Show. Fighter Country will once again open its master flight line to the public, allowing a glimpse into the world's largest master jet base. It also provides the public with a unique opportunity to witness spellbinding aerial displays by the world's finest aviators and participate in first-class family events. Neptune Festival Air Show attracts nearly 400,000 people, making it the second largest air show in the Mid-Atlantic region. In addition, the 1997 Twilight Show was the largest on the East Coast. Our 40th anniversary air show promises to be more spectacular as we welcome Canadian jet demonstrations, snowbirds, and the dazzling aerobatics by the Northern Lights. Okay, air show seating order form. Okay. This is the deal. Blanket seating is free. Go in, bring a blanket, bring your beach chair. And that's really all you need to do. And it's free. Bleacher seats are $1. General seats, I don't know what they are, are $2. And box seats are $50, sold in a box of 10. And this is for corporations. Executive Squadron Chalet, adult 30, children 15, don't know what that is. There's an air show hotline, area code 757-427-3586, code 889, 757-427-3586, code 889. Alcohol, gas, barbecue grills, bicycles, skateboards, rollerblades, and pets are prohibited.
And scanners, N2VRA checking in.
Okay, we'll put you down. Hello there, Frank. Give you a rundown of the schedule here. While I'm waiting for the page to load up, you also asked about the Ham Fair, the 23rd annual Virginia Beach Ham Fest and Computer Fair, along with the Roanoke Division Convention. That's Saturday and Sunday. The dates on that is September 19 and 20. General admission, tickets for $5 in advance, $6 at the door. And there's a phone number here. Area code 757 Ham Fest. 757 Ham Fest. There's also a DoubleTree Hotel next door to the Ham Fair. Phone number there. They're offering special rates. The ad doesn't say. And this, by the way, is in QST on page 148. 1-800-313-0099. 1-800-313-0099. So the Ham Fair is September 19 and 20. And the air show is 18th 20s. I believe the 18s would be probably the twilight show at night. Well, you know, let's go through September 16th, Air Show Golf Tournament. And the phone number for that if anybody plays golf. I'll stand by if anybody wants the phone number to play golf. Don't think so, okay. Here we go. September 18th, Media Day and Invitation Only Show, which is during the day. By invitation, all the brass will be there. Then at night is Twilight Show. The gates open at 4 p.m. Twilight Show is at 7:30 p.m. Admission and parking is free. And there's a concert at 8:30. Last year, Pam Tillis was there. Oh, wow, pretty good concert. Sammy Kershaw is going to be there this year. You won't want to miss the Electric and Graceful Maneuvers of Team Fast Showcat or the Power of the F-14 Tomcat. Roaring through the night, followed by a free concert sponsored by Exxon Eagles 97. Twilight performers will be the Canadian Skyhawks, the B-1 Bomber, F-14 Tomcat, Shockwave Jet Truck, which I've seen at the Monster Truck Doohickey, and the Showcat. Special note. Canadian snowbirds will fly at approximately 3 p.m. on Saturday and 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. The full show will still fly on Sunday. You won't arrive at Naval Air Station Oceana early, so you'll have a chance to experience the wide range of family activities and an action-packed day of flying. This year only, you'll have the opportunity to see a massive fleet flyby, as well as a heritage flight of Navy aircraft in the last 40 years. Don't miss Tomcat Town. An area specifically designed for kids of all ages. It's loaded with rides, interactive games, hands-on educational activities. Adults can stroll through the second annual Wave 10 Consumer Expo and interactive regional businesses. Tarmac will also be filled with nearly 100 static displays covering every branch of the U.S. military, past and present, as well as some international aircraft. There's more, but that I think covers it. So again, September 18th to 20th, Naval Air Station Oceana, Virginia Beach. All right, let's stand by. Do you have any additional questions?
Rex OJ with information for the net.
QLE, good evening, gentlemen.
This is KC2, DKJ, no traffic.
And I would like to recognize as earlier, Frank NQVRA, Alec NQXOJ with traffic, Joe KC2QLE, KC2DKJ. Alec, how's the Skywarn situation?
Oh, everything's calm, cool, and collected on Skywarn, but let me just ask if anyone has discussed the Upton Open House. If they haven't, I'll give you some information.
Okay, I believe Charlie went through the dates on that, but I did notice yesterday on the frequency they had a little commercial there, right on NOAA Weather Radio. But let me turn it over to Charlie KBQ-UDV Charlie, did you cover the corrected date?
KC2AYC, that's just KB2UVV. Yes, I did, Eddie. It's on Saturday, September 19th. I don't know the time. Maybe Alex has more details. All I have is that it is on Saturday, September 19th. Back to you.
Hey, let's turn it over to N2XOJ and see if he has any additional information.
Thank you, Ed. Hello, Charlie. Yeah, it's going to be on September 19th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be from 1 until 5 in the afternoon. And it's going to be not only an open house, but there's going to be certain operations which under tent display will have information available to the public that are invited to join. There will be a Red Cross booth. I'm hoping that there will be, I'm sure there will be a Skywarn booth. I'm hoping that we can introduce a Nassau County Aries and National Traffic System booth to provide information to the public and how amateur radio helps out during emergencies. And the one thing I do know that is that 1:30 on that Saturday afternoon there will be a balloon launch, which is something they don't do every day and something that's worth seeing. A balloon launch is worth it, where they actually put into the atmosphere meteorological instruments that rate wind speed, temperature, etc. They didn't have this show last year. There's no guarantee they'll have it next year. So, yet never been. Come this year, September 19th. Head back to you. See you on Thursday in 2XOJ.
JJ2AYC, KB2UVV.
Just punch in NOAA weather radio to broadcast and announce it at least they were last time. Got the balloon launching, which you're going to laugh. But about a year ago, I was looking through channel surfing on TV. Happened to run across Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. He was at his local NOAA weather radio outpost. I don't know if it was a NOAA weather radio outpost or just an office of the National Weather Service or the NOAA, but they launched, the whole premise was launching one of these balloons. So having seen that on Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, I certainly would like to see that in person. Unfortunately, I have a looking event that weekend. But, get out there at Upton, by all means, check it out. Alright, we'll stand by for any additional check-in.
UVV.
Okay, let's send it over to Charlie.
Okay, Eddie, listen, I'm out of here. Yeah, you just hit here really close. I shut the computer down, so I'd just like to say, so long for now to the guys in the room. If this thing passes, I'll be back on, and I'm going to be in a listening mode. Okay, so I'll give it back to you, Eddie. KBQAYC, this is KBQUVV, and I'll be monitoring.
Okay, Charlie, it should. It's already passed through here. It's all quiet, so 10 or 15 minutes, you'll probably be okay. Hope to see you Thursday. Okay, pick up a couple of pieces of info here and move along. Got an interesting piece in the mail from R up in Bridgeport that comes from the Thursday, August 4th edition of the Connecticut Post. This is written by their correspondent, R.A. Cleary. Stratford Emergency Dispatch hailed. Your system gets faster action on fire and EMS calls. And this isn't in the article. R points out the frequencies to monitor are 458.175, which I assume is the input, 453.175, 458.175, and 453.175. Around the 453, that's the adjacent mobile in parentheses. Stratford, after only 2 weeks of operation, a new central medical emergency dispatch of fire and medical emergencies has drawn praise from the town's top public safety officials. We're getting ambulances out more quickly to Bruce Connery to head Stratford's emergency medical services. Fire Chief Rogers is impressed by the professional approach of the team head dispatcher, the some flexibility in each of the business departments. Under the new system, 9/11 callers who are reporting a fire or EMS call are immediately transferred to the CNET dispatcher. 911 dispatchers handled all the emergency calls in the previous system. They will now handle only police emergency calls. After getting all pertinent information, the CNET dispatcher broadcasts calls to the fire department and or EMS. Executive Director of the EMS Communications Center, the nonprofit corporation which operates with his organization providing direct communication with medical personnel in the field and emergency room physicians at area hospitals. Services provided Transport is the first-hand use of the EMS for both fire and EMS. The center also dispatches ambulances and police serves as a hub coordinating and casualty events. Cases should call from the EMS dispatchers come by radio rather than a call to the fire station. Now all firefighters are going to hear the call, even those out on the road. Information is given to everyone on duty simultaneously. You are one of the first in this area to offer this. Mind you that it is possible because all the dispensers certified as EMTs or higher or a paramedic. Both maintain primary admitted to minor technical problems with the dispensers directed. They're not an emergency effect operation. A call out in Maastricht is asking for a meeting on Thursday at 7:30 at Hooters, and that is direct. And at this time, pass one more piece of information and we'll move on to Curtis. It's on a shortwave radio side of things here. Got something interesting today from the BBC regarding scheduling. BBC Worldwide Monitoring email schedule. Thank you for requesting further information on BBC Worldwide Monitoring email schedule service. We have just received your details from the World Radio and TV Handbook and apologize if you've been waiting some time for this information. I guess I have because I barely remember sending that in and I got that book all about 8 months ago. Our email schedule service draws on the BBC's resources to provide subscribers with international frequency schedules, some of which they might otherwise find difficult and impossible to obtain elsewhere. Each week, subscribers will send approximately 7 or 8 schedules for international, domestic, clandestine, and religious radio, and occasionally TV stations worldwide. The service is delivered by email and costs £99 sterling per annum. About $150. They won't see all this driving here. I've enclosed 4 hard copy examples of past schedules our service has provided. If you would like more information, please contact my dad. I'll give you the email address just to get it to your email. Marketing, MARKETING, at MON. bbc.co.uk marketing at mon.bbc.co.uk. And I know Ian McFarlane of Radio Canada International was providing the service out of Liverpool, New York. Caribbean Production. They were providing free schedules on a bi-yearly basis, I guess every fall and spring season. Well, they were doing it free, and now I believe they're asking for $5. So, while this information is supposed to be up to date, I mean, every week you get 7 or 8 of them, $160, well, 99 pounds, whatever that translates to, depending upon the conversion rate. It's a bit steep. Give you an idea, though, of the information they have. The four they included, the first one was for an Iraqi station. The name of the organization, the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan. Give you an idea of the times they were kind of old. They're just throwing in samples. Oh, that's from May of 98. And they're only broadcasting in Kurdish or Arabic, so we'll pass on that one. And I'm thinking you guys know Kurdish or Arabic. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Next one comes from the United Kingdom, Merlin Communications International. Merlin Network One is a service of Merlin Communications, a privatized UK-based company which carries BBC World Service. Dated July 23rd. And from 0000 to 0100 UTC on Tuesdays, broadcasting Europe and the Americas in English, the Rock Radio Network. Which is frequency at 13690-1195. 9645 1700 to 1900 on Wednesday, Radio Caroline, that's only broadcast to Europe, 15200 to 1600, 1900 to 2100 on Wednesday, Media Zoo, broadcast to Europe and the Americas, 15565-13690, from 2100 through 2300 on Wednesday, broadcast to Europe and the Americas, hard country, with fluid frequency, 13690, 11985, 11916. 9780 and 9645. 6. Finally, on Wednesday from 2300 through 0000, Rock Radio Network again on 13690, 11985, 9780, and 9645. The other two they included are the studio names of The Voice of Nigeria and Hezbek Radio at Uzbekistan. So, those are the kind of things you'll get from $50 email for you from the BBC. If anybody's interested, give us that address. I'll give it out again. Stand by. Marketing, M-A-R-K-E-T-I-N-G, and then M-O-N, Mike Oscar November, Bravo, dot, Bravo, Bravo, Charlie, dot, Charlie Oscar, dot, Uniform Kilo. All right. Let's move down the list. Curtis and TWWM.
Very good. Let me, turn 158.22 down. Hold on. Okay, TWWM. You're, well, now lighting's
whatever they call themselves now, LIPA, they blew a fuse in the Oceanside area close to Baldwin. I hope Charlie has some lights over there. They said that they hope it didn't affect Baldwin. It did affect parts of Oceanside. So there are parts of Oceanside now without no lights. This end, there may be some guys in the listening audience that are listening on portables or local listening area. All right. Last week, I forget to mention that I got the October issue of Popular Electronics. And in the scanner corner, they have a little product thing on the 2041. That's the desktop version. The 400 channel scanner. Got that with a photo. Also an interesting thing here. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Yes, that's what I said. The EPA National Vehicle and Fuel Emissions Lab is changing their frequencies. Guys, 408.00 will be replaced by these three frequencies. So you won't hear anything now on 408.00. Well, if you were wondering what you heard on 408.00, you haven't listened up that high. They're going to be moving down VHF low band, a high band, I should say, on 164.45, 173.475, 173.375, 173.375, and 173.9125. 173.9125. They also have a listing here on New York City Police Department communication systems. And got an interesting website for you to check out for those guys that like to fool around on the website. Let me drop. It says here you can check out the computer. This is the New York City Police Department at www.radiotech.com/nypd.htm. That's all in small caps. I'll repeat it for you, those guys that didn't write fast enough. That's www.radiotech.com/nypd.htm. And that's all in small caps. And, they may be interesting. You may find frequencies. They also indicate that there are frequencies in Staten Island that we know that have been being simulcasted. It's old news for us guys. And including traffic special operations, SOD. You may want to check that out. That was in Popular Electronics. November 1998. Not sensitive information. Listen to your local
local stuff. A lot of good stuff happening out there. Listening to Hempstead, what do you call those guys? Department of Public Safety? What do they call themselves? Interesting stuff going on. There was also an overturn this weekend up in Woodmere Park. Drop WWM. The 4th Precinct responded with Meadowmere Park. Meadowmere Park did not have an ambulance. They had to dispatch an ambulance from the 4th Precinct countywide ambulance. And interesting thing, the girl turned the car over on the side in the park. They said she was I don't know what kind of vehicle she was driving, but she turned the vehicle on the side. And interesting listening Hempstead Public Safety responded. A lot of traffic being passed on there. At the same time that they had the overturn and they requesting the E building to Woodmere Park, drop over on Branch Boulevard. Off, yeah. You correct me if I'm wrong at WWM we dropped. At the same time that was going on, they also had an overturn out Bethpage at almost approximately the same time, around 12:30, 1 o'clock. And, I'm not sure if the E building ever got down to Woodmere, but I'm pretty sure that they got down to the one Bethpage. They got the person out. It was a young girl and her mother, and they took them interesting hospital from there. They took them to Long Beach Memorial Hospital down in Long Beach. Two separate buses. Leads to some interesting listening. Back to net to WWM.
Okay, let me make a few comments before I do if we have any additional check-in.
And 2RZG6, no traffic.
And 2VRA, Ed, we got a shutdown over here. We got heavy thunderstorms. We'll be listening battery power. I'll get back to you later.
Okay, and 2VRA, roger. I'll probably pass in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. All quiet here. And 2RZG, recognized. All right. I'm puzzled and confused. Part of it's my own fault because after talking so much while you guys talk, I'm trying to read the email and get the next segment ready. So I apologize for missing the first part of your discussion on this overtime. Now, North Woodmere Park on Branch Boulevard in North Woodmere is a county park. And I'm pretty sure in the Hewlett Bay Fire District, the Hewlett Fire Department would respond. And the town of Hempstead Department of Public Safety would not respond. They have no jurisdiction there. It's a county park. So, Meadowmere Park responded. The only part of North Woodmere that's in Meadowmere Park District, I believe, is where Pathmark is in Pergament on Rockaway Boulevard. Half of that's in Queens and half of it's in North Woodmere. And it's a little shady over there as to where the jurisdiction lines are. So, let's run through. Let me send it back to you, Curtis.
Maybe I got the wrong park. They did have Meadowmere Park, though. Maybe they were covering something. There was a lot of stuff going on in the 2nd Battalion this weekend. I was up at the parade up in Oceanside. My HT went dead, so if anybody was trying to find me on Simplex or on 805, I might have made one or two transmissions and that was it. Parade was kind of short Saturday night. Me and my wife Brownie moved at the place we had the Christmas party at. It was an interesting, I'll tell you on the phone, interesting evening. That's all I gotta say. Back to net. WWM. I don't understand about the Wilmere Park thing. Is there another park up in Lido? Are there any other parks on a Branch Boulevard that I don't know about? They did have the ambulance, and I never even saw the ambulance. I don't even know what the ambulance looked like from Meadowmere Park. Back to you, Ed.
WWM. Okay, the parade was going on, maybe it was a mutual aid call and they were covering. Still doesn't explain attempts at public safety, though. That's where I'm confused. I think in Inwood there may be a panic on the third part. Oh well, don't worry about it, not important. Alright, Paul in Port Jeff said the storm died down and he's back on the internet. Alright, let's stand by for an additional question.
This is JC2BZB. Joe, with a question.
$4,000 worth of equipment, but that's another story. And the help is starting to hold out now, so we'll be PO'ing everybody, I guess, from time to time. That's about it from here.
KB2QLE, KB2AYC. Very good, Joe. Well, I'm glad to hear the help is starting to hold out. That's most important. The lightning. Sorry to hear that. Boy, you got some awful luck lately with equipment. Given that fact, and then back in December, the problem with the vehicle catching fire there, an electrical problem. So I hope you have that ARRL insurance on your equipment.
Well, it got better than that. I was away for a few days taking it easy, and my wife's car got blasted, so we had to replace that. Goes on and on, but I am in the process now of getting that insurance, believe me. Very good investment. I don't see what everybody else does, but seeing what happens, I think it's a good deal. We're looking forward to that. Been back on my own then. I missed it the other night, but 2 weeks in a row there, and I'm putting together another scenario. I guess I'll be back on air every night and starting to run around again. So, who knows?
All right, good to hear from you. And, yeah, I don't know where that guy digs up all that information. He must be on some kind of railroad mailing list. For those of you wondering what we're talking about, a friend of mine, Dave, sends me a lot of information regarding railroad development, what companies are buying out, what companies, and all sorts of interesting tidbits, and I've been forwarding it over to Joe. In fact, I think I sent Alex a piece of information I printed up. So, if you're interested, I could find out if there's a direct way to get that info.
And that would be great, because I do subscribe to some railroad mailing lists, and the mails are very, very scarce. And unfortunately, the web pages aren't updated all that often, so it's kind of a pain in the neck. But yeah, I'd appreciate that. And if I can get back in here next Tuesday, I have some frequencies that I picked up along the way with some stuff going on them.
Okay, we'd appreciate it. And the fellas over there on Monday night, can you just fill us in with frequencies and the times? I haven't checked in quite a while. Are they still doing VHF first, then UHF? Any idea what's going on?
For the best that I know, I get in there about 8:15 or so on Mondays, and they're on the 441.100 and 441.100, and the PL is 114.8. That's 114.8. And they start between, I think, 8:10 and 8:15 on that frequency. No more VHF, to the best of my knowledge. I haven't even been on the landline with them as of late. Trying to finish up some last minute stuff here and everything else, and their schedules are kind of crazy. But to the best of my knowledge, and maybe Alex can back me up on it, they're not on VHF anymore.
N2XOJ?
Okay, let's pass it over to N2XOJ, and what we're discussing now is the Monday Night Long Island Railroad Amateur Radio. And send it over to Alex.
Thanks, Ed. It is totally on the 440 band. It's no longer on the lower band, number one. Number two, I'm surprised that Joe says 8 o'clock, because I haven't checked into the net now for 2 weeks, but the last I heard, it was starting at 8:30. So unless they've changed it the past 2 weeks, it's going to be 8:30 on the 440 frequency.
That's back to you, Rex. Okay. Thanks for that info. Alex, did you get the correspondence I sent you about the locomotive?
whatever it was, I don't even remember.
Jed, and I appreciate it. Thanks very, very much. Very interesting information.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I had gotten the right address off the internet there. All right. Very good. Thanks for that info, Alec. And Joe, glad to hear you're on the air. I'm going to thank you one more time.
Hey, thank you, Ed. And again, good evening to everybody in the net. Alex, you're more than likely right. As I said, I got on there about quarter after race the both nights, and I was back on, so I really didn't get into the details. And one night, the receiver on the repeater went down, so that kind of precluded me from getting all the correct information, but we'll see what happens this week. All right, back to you. I'm going to sit here and listen for a while, and maybe if I find something interesting, I'll jump in.
Thursday at 7:30 at Hooters in Islandia. That's located on the North Service Road of the Long Island Expressway at 8:58. And we appreciate it if you get there close to 7:30 so we can fill in and get a table. But if other obligations prohibit that, you know, even if you show up late, don't worry. Now we're usually there from 10 to 10-ish. So I'm sure we'll squeeze you in a table. There's always an extra chair or two. All right. Now, what I was going to say hello to people in the chat, and I haven't forgotten yet. We have some issues here. I was reading the mail, and I ran across this microphone problem. So let's go back to the mail there. This info comes from our friend Mike. He runs the webpage. This is directed towards our friend R in Bridgeport.
WWM?
Curtis?
And a question for Joe. Maybe he can come back with, you know, the answer next week. Something in reference to the train.
Ed?
WWM? I was reading while the scanner scene in the popular electronic, and they come up with a thing here. It's called, they use it for freight. Maybe you can come up with an explanation of what it is. It's called end of train markers. End of train markers, and the abbreviation is called EOTM. EOTM. Or EOT. For short. And I was wondering if he could find out what that is all about and do some research on it. Back to net, to WWM.
Okay, very good. Good question, Curtis. Yes, Joe, please pick it up. Curtis, that's got to be, is that in a back issue? Well, let's send it over to Joe. I remember that article. But let's send it over to Joe.
Okay, first of all, ETOM is end of train marker, which is correct. And very, very basically, it's used mostly on freight trains. You'll see a lot of them running around on the Long Island Railroad because they don't use cabooses or what they call hacks anymore. And what it is, it's a marker light that flashes. It's a flashing signal that's affixed to the coupler of the last car on the train. And what marker lights do is they denote that this is the last car. So this light flashes and flashes, and the oncoming trains can see it, and they know that there's a train ahead of them, or that's the last car in the consciousness of the train ahead of them. It's a very cheap but very effective method of signals from long range. and if you go down to Mineola, I don't know what you see over the Long Beach or the Far Rockaway, besides work trains. But go through Mineola or Garden City or whatever, and you look on the end of freight trains, and even during the day, you'll see the lights there. There is a yellow box that they're affixed to, which carries the power for them. And basically, all they do is flash either amber or red, something in the amber and the red color range. And they continually flash until you physically turn them off. So that's the end of train marker.
No, extra question. It's the WW1.
12XOJ?
Okay, N2XOJ, Rocky 9, stand by. I try to stand by. Let's let Alex speak, probably on this subject, and we'll come back to you with the extra question.
Just to point out that a more advanced version of the end of train marker is not only what Joe has just told you, but also incorporates the ability to read the air brake pressure in the train and transmit that back to the locomotive so that the train crew are aware at all times of what the air brake pressure is on the train line. Should they lose pressure, i.e. the ability to stop, that they're made aware of it because there is no caboose. Back to that, N2XOJ.
Okay, Alex, thanks for that info. This question, try to stand by, comes from Paul in Port Jefferson. He's got a question. He says, Ed, is it true that eastbound trains are even numbers and odd are west? So I will pose that question to Joe.
If this is KB2QLE, I got to get you guys on the Monday night net. Get a little more action over here. Yes, eastbound trains are numbered with even numbers. Westbound trains are numbered with odd numbers. It makes it easier for identification. Realize that we run over, they run, because I'm no longer there. They run over 700 trains a day of various consists. So it's a very easy identification system. The only trains that don't really have numbers are the freight trains. They usually have names, so that's the way they were doing it before I left. But every passenger train, or any train that has a passenger car in it, has an even number or an odd number. Many years ago, before we changed the system, passenger trains that carried passengers had even numbers or odd numbers depending on the direction. When they were emptying, shuttling from one terminal to another, they had a series of letters which denoted the branch that they were running either on or to, or their final destination, I should say. And again, the numbers were even or odd, so that's been a tradition for I don't know how many years, I guess 100 years on a Long Island anyway. So, yes, you're 100% right. Eastbounds are even, westbounds are odd.
This is KP2AYC. KP2QLE, thanks for that info. And one more question from the online room. The frequency for the Long Island Railroad net again on UHF.
Before I answer that, let me ask you, what's the name of the room?
OIMA. That's on America Online.
Okay, I'll be in there in a sec. The frequency is 441.400. And the GL is 114.8.
Okay. Paul says thanks for the info, and I thank you. And let's send it back to Curtis, who had another question for you.
Give me one second.
Because in the book here, it says here that they're also not, you mentioned about the lights, Joe. They're also sending data signals now, I guess on various frequencies. One frequency they mentioned here is
457.9375. It's called an odd data signal, which is often monitored on that frequency, 457.9375. And it says that the general operation of the hobbyist cannot decode the data, the digital data transmission. So I was wondering in addition to what you explained to me is what kind of the digital data system that they may be using, if that's classified or not, and are they using it here in our local area? This reader was in Kansas. Back to net, 2WWM.
2WWM, stand by a moment. You got doubled. You gotta wait a minute before you speak. Joe, I heard you asking, how do you get into the room?
Sir Roger,
send me an instant message. My screen name is on call sign. And I'll put the little link in that instant message when I reply.
Okay, let me get that box back. Curtis, I can't answer that question because apparently they're using it out of space. Whether the Long Island Railroad at this time is using the digital signal or not, I don't know. I'm not even sure if they're using the air pressure portion of it. I couldn't really answer that if I wanted to because I really don't know. But I will endeavor to find out for you. It shouldn't take much time. So, if you can hold off on that, I'll see if I can get back to you. But they just started using it about 2 or 3 months before I left was the first time I saw it. So, I didn't get into it. And all my books I had given to my daughter who's since become an employee. So, I'll get some information for you.
Good, Joe. No, I'll try to remember to check into your net. 2WWM, back to you, Ed.
Just stand by. I believe somebody may be trying to check in. And, PL, if you're not using a PL, you need a 136.5 PL. Holding a machine. Try a 136.5 PL. If you're in Western Nassau or Queens or New York City, try a positive shift input. If you're in Central Nassau, Suffolk, use a negative shift input.
Victor India, the name is Michael. Checking into the net with some info.
B2OVI, hello Michael. Was that you trying to check in just several seconds ago?
That wasn't me, that was someone else. That's why I was standing by. for 30 seconds or so before I jumped in there.
Okay. Stand by for any additional check-in.
This is KC2BZB. Second attempt. We're going to show with questions.
KC2, Delta Lima Kilo.
Hey Joe, we got you this time. That other station was at KB2, Delta Lima Kilo.
That was Kilo Charlie 2, Delta Lima Kilo. Tom, that guy.
Hey Tom, very good. KC2BLK. Let's go to Joe, KC2BZD, with his question.
KC2AYC, KC2BZD, in the next. Good evening, everyone. I have a question, and I think Ed, you probably can answer this because I know you have one. But I have a general question about the optoelectronic scout versus the cub. You know, can you tell me what the difference is? And as you know, I have the RS-10. I think the scout is the one that's with the action doing that. Just a real quick synopsis of what it is, and you and anyone else who has one, just like a brief description, like you like it, you don't use it, something along those lines. Back to next control.
Okay, KC2BZD. KC2AYC. Funny you mention that, I was using my scout today. I've been meaning for several weeks to tell you we should try reaction tuning your R10 with it. The Cub Scout, by the way, they're now selling for about $349. And Joe KB2QLA made it into the chat room, so if you could say hello. And Scout there is around $349. Holds, I think, 400 different frequencies, and it'll count, I believe, up to 99 hits on each frequency. You can use it to reaction tune the AOR and the ICOM radios. You can use it and then hook it into your computer and cross-reference your hits with some CD-ROM frequency directories. Few other things you can probably do with it. The Cub is a cheaper version. I don't know exactly what features that frequency counter has. I'll stand by and see if anyone wants to throw in their 2 cents on this issue. The funny thing, the batteries are rechargeable and they're internal. The whole thing is a sealed unit. Interesting, because last year I had read some posts on some of the news group rooms that people were having trouble with their batteries. Now, in all fairness, I've had mine since the summer of 96 with a test model that one of the magazines had, so I don't know how long they had it before I got it. And I've used it maybe 10 times. So that time that it's not being used, it just sits there and I guess goes dead. They give you the charger. I've always charged it fairly rapidly. Well, what caught me off guard today, you know, I took it and it was dead. So I charged it. And then I had it on, and it only lasted less than an hour. So I was a little concerned about that. I'm going to have to check into that. I'll run it through a few more cycles. All right. Got some information here now coming from Joe KB2QLE. Let me just send it back to KB2QZB, see if he's got any other theories.
KC2AYC, KC2BZB. So I just want to get a general impression of it. Just curious. Back to you. Okay.
Very good. We'll have to get together. Got a bunch of projects when we get together. That's one thing I'd like to, a few places I'd like to go with your R-10 and the Scout and Reaction Unit. One is Green Acres, and then we'll be able to hear what the Scout's picking up instantaneously. Might make for a nice project, and then we can report back on the net.
Sounds good to me. Back to you.
I'm curious, the R-10, did that come with any instructions as far as if you want a reaction unit? Regarding a cable, what you need to interface Scout to the R-10?
If I remember right, it has all the instructions. It's funny because I have done some computer controlled scanning with it, not a lot. I actually bought the cable from my iPod. You know, they overpaid a lot, I'm sure. The R-10's kind of strange because you can program it through the earphone jack and then the CIV interface is where your computer control it from. So it's two separate ports. But if I remember right, it's very simple. I'm just thinking out loud here. Same thing I do with computer controlling, except you have a Scout controller. It's very, very simple. You basically, I can't think of the exact way to do it. I'm sure I know how to do it. Back to you, Ed.
Okay. Very good. Joe KB2QLE mentions that Yonkers TV and FT shortly will be moving to a trunk system. And our friend Chris Deer Park just entered the room as well, saying hello to everybody on the net. I was reading some of this mail that I was going to read. And this info is for our friend R. Bridgeport. Comes from Mike out in Jersey, who operates our website for us. And R had requested a copy of the August 4th net. He said, sorry to tell you that the tape of the net you requested was recorded over by one of my employees. It's a long story. The recorded ones I do have, but not as on the site as of yet. July 29th and August 11th. Sorry. By the way, I cut one of my employees' fingers off. I'm sure that was lighthearted.
All right.
So on. We're out of luck. I don't have any recordings for the August 4th net. However, if anybody out there in the vast listening audience has a recording, I'll gladly send you a blank tape and reimburse your shipping expenses or just send you money for the tape. So, got a tape for the August 4th net. Let me know. You can write to me at kc2ayc@qsl.net or head EDPO Box 308, Peterhurst, New York, 11516. And for those of you that may not have a computer, but you want to get online, I got an ad. Normally I don't recommend computer places. I never bought these people, but Micro Systems Warehouse, this will just give you an idea of the kind of deals that are out there. You can reach them at 888-438-1793. That's 1-888-438-1793. Just to let you know, we got some blowouts on some computers that were like state-of-the-art maybe a year and a half ago. Impact Presario 2200 desktop. I'm assuming Yep, monitor sold separately, so this is without a monitor. But 180 megahertz processor, 1.6 gigabyte hard drive, 16 megabytes of RAM, and 8XCG ROM, which again, you know, this figure, this was state of the art here a year and a half ago, and 13.6 modem. Comes with a manufacturer's 1-year warranty at the factory refurb for $399. Brand new, we have the Compact Desk Pro 4000, which is a 166 megahertz processor with MMX technology, 2.4 gigabyte hard drive, 16 megs of RAM. Does not mention anything about a modem here. Again, monitor sold separately, $499. They also had some good deals around $499 on some IBM. If you're looking, if you're not looking for the latest equipment that you want to get online, that might be a good opportunity as opposed to buying something used. Trying to get in, you're not making the repeater. Use a 136.5 PO. Check your antenna connections and your power output. The next piece of email comes from Rich, KC2AQH. Hi Ed, thank you for the mod on the Pro 64 battery charge. I did it a little different. Open up the scanner and solder a jumper wire on the PC board. One at outside of the scanner tab, and one on the middle one. Worked out fine. Did it this way, except you lose your pre-programmed frequencies. I use my scanner charger to the Pro 43 battery pack. It's the same. So, that's wrong that. And, okay, our friend, calling for Jeff. I don't know if he gave the fellas the correct website last time regarding the underground weather website. Stand by. I will get that website address. www.underground.com Whiskey Uniform November Delta Echo Robert George Robert Oscar Union November Delta dot com.
VR with a comment.